Hello.
Hey.
You're listening to Peninsula Obscura. I'm Karina Kolb.
And I'm Rachel Peacock.
This is a podcast about the strange and unusual state of Florida.
We'll talk about Florida's weird history,
paranormal activity,
and of course, true crime.
Each week, one of us researches a topic, and then we talk about it in depth.
Let's dive in. Hello.
Hi. coming to you straight from quarantine.
Straight from quarantine. Hello to everyone except coronavirus. You can go suck it, COVID-19. I hope everyone's doing okay and staying inside and not getting sick.
Yes. Sorry for the delay in releasing this episode. We had to figure out how to record separately.
Yes. So we are recording via, I guess, I don't know. We're recording. We're doing
We're doing the thing.
We've rigged it. We've rigged it up. So not everything's canceled, including this podcast. Take some time, you know. Everyone's telling you to do this, but we really like feel for everything that's happening for right now. Like, it's happening to us too. We're thankful that we can still work. There's a lot of people that can't work. I feel bad about that. So do your part to help when you can, and obviously stay away from everybody else. We're kind of in this madness of a life together, and hopefully our podcast episodes can help you take your mind off of these crazy societal changes. If you're looking for something to do during these trying times, we're no experts, but we can definitely suggest some things to do. Do you have any suggestions, Karina?
Well, do I? Today is the 20th of March. Also happens to be the day that Animal Crossing New Horizons is released. It's a video game. It's a Nintendo video game for the Switch, if you're not familiar with it. I got it on digital order, and I downloaded it yesterday, and now it's ready to go today because they don't let you play it until midnight. That would take up a lot of your time. So I would recommend it. It's really fun. Even if you're not a video game person, it's very peaceful. You have an island and a bunch of little cute creatures come. You make it look however you want it to look like. There's no violence. It's all very peaceful. I recommend
it. That sounds great. I've actually never played. And I don't have a Switch, which is sad. But my friend down the street does, so I might have to try it out while we're living in this life.
it's big. I'm super excited about it. So yeah, that's definitely something that you can use to take up your time. I'm not at all sponsored.
We were sponsored by them. That'd be great. Speaking of some self-advertisement, you could go on Apple Podcasts and rate and review Peninsula Obscura.
Oh my god, such a fun pastime, guys. That would be so fun.
You can please
though.
You can please do that. That would be great.
And write us something. We love to read them.
We love the feedback.
You can also email us ideas that you may have. We
you
read
can
the emails.
Facebook us. Yeah. Comment on our Instagram. Here's some other things too. You could probably take a walk. I've heard a lot of people are fostering animals. I'm very tempted to go pick up a pup. We'll see if that happens. Stay tuned.
It's such a good time to foster animals because you're going to be home with them all the time. So you don't have to worry about accidents. Oh, that's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, and if you wanted to go even further, you could adopt a pet.
It's dangerous because if I foster an animal, like there is a slight chance that that foster will be failed because I might want to adopt him.
I think that's what the agencies are hoping for.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have taken him in right now, so that's awesome. I think there was, I don't remember what it was, but they were, if you're fostering an animal now, look it up, because some companies are giving out, like, they're going to send, like, free toys for the dogs.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I don't know. I just saw an ad, but it was really cute.
My friends just adopted a labradoodle puppy yesterday. Oh. Like a 3-month-old puppy, because of the quarantine, basically. Oh my, because they wanted a dog already, but it's kind of the perfect timing for it.
Yes, it is. And Karina, I literally haven't told you yet, my mom, they just got a miniature dachshund.
Oh my god,
it's so cute. Oh
my god,
she's so cute. I think they're still deciding on the name. They were going with maybe Corona, but I don't think that's gonna happen. I think they're gonna name it. My brother is very set on getting I think he wanted a boy, but we got a girl. They got a girl. Mm-hmm. And the name he wanted to name it was Rocket, so we'll see what
Rocket that's gender neutral.
Rocket the girl, I guess. That, yeah, it doesn't really matter, but we'll see. Yeah. He's very set on it. But
so yeah, there's things you can do.
There's things we can do.
We're glad to keep you company if you're self-quarantining.
Yes, and give you a little distract-a-rooney.
Yeah.
So I have another idea that kind of ties into today's episode, because I've been listening to a lot of digital books, because Karina told me about, if you go get a library card, or if you have a library card, a lot of the libraries around have like free subscriptions to apps. And I use one app to like listen on to, and you can like loan, they'll loan you digital books that normally you'd have to buy.
Yeah, audiobooks.
So that's something you can do.
Audiobooks and iPad, like Kindle books too. It's called Libby.
Libby, yeah. And I think there's a couple different kinds depending on like what area you're in or what county you're in, but it's amazing. And not that I've read the book, but I've read a portion of it because of the research for this episode. I'm gonna recommend it in a bit, but it's very cool. And this book actually has investigations in it that happened from 1947 to 1969. And it was written by a man who led these said investigations. In this episode of Peninsula Obscura, I'm going to describe one of those cases, and it just so happens that it took place in Florida almost 70 years ago. On the morning of August 20th, 1952, a man named Edward J. Ruppelt was getting ready to go to work when he received a phone call. I imagine it was one of those rotary dial phones, because this is the 50s, y'all.
Hell yeah.
On the line, a man in the National Air Technical Intelligence Center. That's a mouthful.
National Air Technical Intelligence Center. Okay.
Yes. He informed Ruppelt that the message was urgent and that the man who sent the message did not want to read it over the phone.
Ooh. Now, so it's like a telegram?
I think they call it, it's a wire.
Ah.
Rupert later found out that the wire had come from an intelligence officer from an airbase in West Palm Beach, Florida, and he had a message for the project Ruppelt was chief of. So this guy is in charge of this project, and he's getting tips. He called the officer up, and after the man detailed the incident, Ruppelt decided that the case was worth his team's time. Now, Edward Ruppelt, along with his assistant Bob Olson, flew down to West Palm Beach, Florida that morning. So they were like, this is
urgent.
We gotta go.
Urgent.
This is urgent. Yeah. Once they were there, they were able to interview all the parties involved, investigate the incident, and verify what had caused it. Now, The man first up for questioning met them at the airbase. Now, this man's name was D.S. Sonny Vergers, and he was a former Marine, and now he worked as a sales clerk at a local hardware store. In recent months, he had become a scoutmaster for a newly organized Boy Scout troop. And the big, this is the big part, the night before, he claimed to have been burned by a strange object, an object that he had no explanation for. You see, Edward Ruppelt worked for the United States Air Force, and the project he led for a long time was called Project Blue Book. Technically, the project was called Project Grudge until 1951 when it was changed to Blue Book, but I'm just saying that to cover anyone that wants to fight me. And so, Karina, I wanted to ask if you've ever heard of it.
No, I've never heard of this.
Oh my God, I'm about to blow your mind.
I'm really
mind.
Excited.
All right. So for a lot of my research, I went off of this book that I haven't told you what it is yet, and military records that I found in the U.S. National Archives. So here's a little bit about this project. Project Blue Book was ran by the United States Air Force to investigate reports and sightings of unidentified flying objects. So, UF frickin' O's.
Hell yeah.
Edward Ruppelt, this guy who was in charge of it, he's the one that coined the term UFO.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
The concern
how old is this?
So, it ran from the 1947 to 1969.
Wow. I love it.
That's the years that it was active, and then they canceled it. But I think it was mostly made to figure out if these incidents and these reports, because people were freaking out and seeing things, they wanted to see if it was a threat to national security. Essentially, it was kind of like the X-Files, which is really, really cool.
Dope. That's awesome.
I mean, he only investigated like UFO sightings or occurrences or whatever people reported. In the years that it remained active, so this is like a spanning from 1947 to 1969, like I said earlier, a total of 12,618 sightings were reported to Project Blue Book.
Oh my God. And this was across the country?
Yes, this was all over the U.S.
Wow.
Of all of these sightings and investigations, 701 remained unidentified.
Unsolved mystery.
Yeah. It's very interesting. The project, I talked about this earlier too, but it was shut down eventually, and it was declassified and allowed for the public to like know about it. Obviously, that's why it's on the U.S. archives. I couldn't find like all of the case files. I'm sure they're somewhere, but anyways, there's, I think in Washington you can go and they have like a whole section of, I think, the U.S. National Archives that's dedicated to this, which is very cool. So if I ever go back to Washington,
that would be so cool to see.
Yeah, okay, that's our next trip. That's not in Florida.
No, it's in Florida, but it'd still be fun to see.
So there's lots of cool cases in this whole project. But today, on this episode, we're talking about a case that, according to Ruppelt, he said was one of the weirdest UFO reports that he came up against. So it's like one of the weirdest he's ever seen.
I'm ready.
And
for
what
it.
Do you know?
It's in Florida.
What do you know? It's in Florida.
It's gotta be.
Yep. So on the evening of August 19th, so remember, Ruppelt flew down the morning of August the 20th. The event happened the night before. So this is August 19th, 1952. And Sonny Disvergers gathered for a meeting with his Boy Scout troop, and he did this every week. The meeting ended early, and several of the boys needed rides home, and so being the honorable scoutmaster that he was, Sonny offered to drive. Four boys piled into his car, and shortly after, the first boy was dropped off at his home. The topic of conversation changed to chat about stock car racing. They discussed the idea that the race might be canceled because of all of the recent rainfall. And yeah, rain equals flooding. So Sonny decided to change course, and instead of like taking the next boy home, he drove out with the boys to check on the state of the track themselves. And of course, these times, you can't just go on the internet and like look up and see if it's canceled.
Right.
It's kind of like back the then you're kind of like, yeah, you're kind of like, oh, let's just go check it out. You have to go see for yourself. Now, Sonny and the scouts travel nearly 10 miles towards the track. It's dark outside and the road takes them through an area with only few settlements. No other roads, no civilization. With the exception of endless palmettos, pine trees, and critters, most likely snakes and other things that are creepy, there was no sign of really any human life. Let me just say that. So they're in the middle of nowhere.
Right. It's a big racetrack out away because it's loud, probably. Yeah. No one lives near it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like South Florida, yeah. You know? It's like just all of that vegetation is probably hear cicadas and stuff, you know?
I can picture it.
Classic Florida.
No light pollution.
No light pollution, no nothing. As they drove along, Sonny noticed something strange off in the distant pines to his left. He asked the scouts if they had seen the light he had just seen. None of them saw it, so Sonny kept driving. A few moments later, he saw the lights in the same area again. And this time, the scouts saw them too. Being the curious guy he was, Sonny stopped the car. He explained to the scouts that he wanted to see what it was. I mean, this is like, I mean.
Yeah, middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere.
Weird lights, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go check it out. The boys were not about that.
Oh my God, I can totally picture it.
No. These kids are like 10, 11,
yeah,
12 years
too
old.
Scared.
So they didn't want to be left alone in the car.
That's like so, that dad shit where it's like, all right, let's go. I'm going to go see what it is. And you're like, no, don't go. And he's like, I'm going to go. You can stay here if you want. And you're like, no, I'm going to come with you.
But he's like, no, you can't come with me.
Exactly.
He listened to the boys, and Sonny got back on the road and started driving again. This is when his mind started wandering, you know, like minds do. And Sonny wondered and second-guessed himself on what he had seen. The lights had looked as if an airplane had gone down, and the feeling of what if something happened and I didn't do anything to help flooded his mind.
Right. If somebody had crashed.
Mm-hmm. Like if he just left it and then like 2 days later he finds out that it was an airplane crash, like I would feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel that. So then that weighed on him, and that is when he made the decision to turn the car around. He headed to the spot adjacent to where the lights were, and he was like, I'm going. Sorry, boys. At this time, the radio was on, and he told the three boys that he was going to go check out the mysterious lights. And if he had not returned by the end of the 15-minute radio program, he instructed the boys to run and grab help from a farmhouse that they had passed earlier. Sonny picked up his flashlight and a machete. Because who doesn't have a machete in South Florida?
That's normal. It's true, though.
It is true. And I'm sure back then it was even more so true.
Yeah.
He began making his way through the palmettos and towards the dark, mysterious darkness.
Ooh. I was so freaked out. I'm excited.
the palmettos were not that difficult to maneuver at first, but then the bushes seemed to grow thicker the further he was away from the car.
Right.
And soon he was pushing through the waist-high undergrowth.
Oh my God.
So as Sonny is making his way towards the lights, he notices a strange odor with no visual origin. It was described as sharp, but also faint. And along with that, he noticed a slight but noticeable temperature change.
That's key. UFO signs.
When he recounted what it felt like, he said it was, quote, like walking by a brick building in the evening after the sun had set.
What?
Weird.
That's so specific.
Yeah, so you, I know. I think it's a good descriptor, though. A brick building has, the sun is shining on it all day, and then the sun is set, but the brick building is still hot because it's retained that heat, and when you walk by it, it's warm. So it's like that weird, like, I know that this thing is not hot, but it's putting off heat. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, Sonny disregarded this as he continued onward, and he was very determined to find out what caused the lights. He managed to get about 30 yards before he found himself at a clearing.
Love a clearing. Was it circular-shaped clearing?
I don't think it described how, what it was shaped like. It was just, there was less palmettos. He was just hanging out there, just kidding. This whole time, the scouts were watching Sonny and his flashlight just dance around as he traveled further from the car. So he was like looking around, pointing the flashlight at things, and the boys said that they could watch him. They could see him the whole time, because these kids are like, what's happened? What's going to happen? And looking out the little window of the car. And they described that they watched him enter the clearing. Now, at this moment, Sonny says that the air in the clearing became, quote, oppressively moist, making it hard to breathe. So it was very humid, just a difference of humidity from the palmettos to the clearing. Alone, he looked up at the stars. Nothing, just darkness. And that is when he became startled. You see, in that moment, he saw nothing but black because a big, dark shape hovered between him and the sky. Yeah. So the stars are out. It's not just like it's not a visible night. It literally, he looked up and the stars were gone. He slowly moved out from under the object, and that's when he noticed the air wasn't as humid and warm. The humidity changed in the temperature as he moved out from underneath it. And he points his flashlight up towards the strange object to get a better sense of what it is. And according to him, it was circular, this object. And it was a little concave underneath, so it was a little rounded. It was smooth and gray with a dome in the middle, like a turret. So a turret is like those things that they have on top of tanks.
Gotcha.
And it had veins, which are like fins, if you don't know what a vein is, because I didn't. And they're spaced out around underneath it.
Like fins underneath it.
Like, just picture like a wind turbine. It's those little like fins that are like pointing towards the center all the way around.
Like a lemon squeezer.
Also like,
kind of.
No, more like a.
Oh,
the ribs
okay.
Of like a
mushroom cap. No, that's
like
perfect.
The mushroom cap, and then underneath,
I got it.
Ridges.
That's a good, good description.
Yeah, so it's basically a giant mushroom like over top of him. That's. Dark. Between each of these fins.
Right,
so they weren't exactly like a mushroom because those are tiny little ribs, but they were like spread out in space in between. And they had small openings in between each fin that looked like nozzle thingies. I don't know. This is how
Right. You're reading the description, right?
So Sunny obviously is like, what the hell is this thing? He's staring at it. And honestly, it sounds a little bit like a saucer to
does
me.
Does sound like sure a flying feel the saucer, safe, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. This is a very strange part. So he's just standing underneath this, or partially underneath this thing. And he became like angry, kind of almost for no reason. Like he was just furious, and like the idea of attacking this object, like with this machete, like crossed his mind. Like he just felt negatively towards this thing, and he was like, what the heck is
this? Kind of like a fight or flight instinct.
He was mad, and then he was like ready to go. And as soon as he started thinking about all this negative stuff, he saw the turret. It's like a like turret looking dome thing. It moves slightly, and with a sound, I mean, it sounded like, quote, like the opening of a well-oiled safe door.
Okay. So it's a mechanical metal noise, basically.
Weird.
But yeah, well-oiled. Like, so not too creaky. But like a...
I guess it wouldn't be...
Gotcha.
It was like... Yeah, weird. I don't know how to do noises. I wish it was. Maybe it'd be funny if it was like creaky. The scouts watched Sunny's flashlight point up, and just as they were thinking, like, "Oh, he's looking up at the trees. He must have seen something." A large red fireball cascaded down upon Sunny, causing him to fall to the ground
and catch on fire.
I mean, they couldn't see anything other than that.
Holy shit.
So
that's what they saw.
Yeah. So then they were like, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And I think it said that he was, Sunny was only gone like 5 minutes. So they were watching him the whole time.
Right.
That's what the scouts said, that they could see him. And they jumped out of the car and ran as fast as they could, because they were instructed to do so by Sunny, to get help. The three boys made it to the farmer's house, and the farmer phoned the Florida State Highway Patrol for help. They relayed the message to the sheriff's office, and they sent a sheriff and a constable, which is a peace officer. I don't know, 50s wording. I don't know.
A sheriff and a constable. I guess, well, I mean, I don't know what the fuck a constable is.
Someone with limited policing authority.
I see. So maybe they just don't carry a weapon.
Yeah. They drove to the farmer's house. They picked up the scouts, and they drove onward to the incident, the site where the incident occurred. From Sonny's perspective, he had looked up with his flashlight and been engulfed in this great ball of fire from this flying unidentified object. He threw up his hands and really couldn't do anything, but... whatever had happened right after, like, I don't know if the object flew away right away. He didn't see it because he passed out, and he was laying there for a little bit. And then when he came to, he began running back towards the road. And by the time he got back to the road, the cop car had just pulled up.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Sunny Disverges was so freaked out by what had happened, and I think he said, the officer that like was looking around and trying to figure out what happened said that he had never really seen a man so scared. They later realized that Sunny's arms, legs, face, and the top of his baseball cap had been slightly burned. Yeah.
Slightly burned, like sunburned, or like...
When they have they have the investigators, when they come down, they end up taking, they put Sunny in a room, and they have a flight surgeon come examine Sunny, And they found that he had minor burns comparative to mild sunburns on the back of his hands, arms, and inside of his nostrils. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. It's like a sunburn. So it's like not super bad, but it's also, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's like a flash burn almost.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
As he recounted what had happened, the officers went back to the spot where it had happened. And there was his flashlight and an indent in the grass where Sonny had been lying down. Hmm. And obviously this was not really a case for local law enforcement. So therefore the call was made in the morning to Project Blue Book.
X-Files.
Yeah. To Project Blue Book.
Dope.
Hence the investigation with Edward J. Rubolt and his team began. Now, the first interviews, like I had talked about, was with Sonny. They also interviewed the scouts and they inspected the site of the incident. And keep in mind that these investigators are trying to find a scientific explanation for what had happened, or if they're trying to find out if it was a hoax, it was faked, like someone is just trying to make this up. So this is their whole goal. When they go on each investigation, they are trying to find proof that it is fake.
Gotcha.
They're kind of in the more mindset of Scully versus like right. Mulder in the X-File. Right.
They're basically going in to try and, well, I mean, that's, it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to go in and say, well, is everything lining up with science? So you go in assuming that it's not gonna it's all gonna be explained by science.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something isn't explained, you know, that's where the real information, that's like the exciting part. You're like, well, exactly. Science explains this and this and this, but there's this that cannot be explained, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, it's X-Files, it's all it is. I'm sure, yeah. It played a lot into what, when they were writing this stuff.
Totally.
X-Files. Anywho, here are some details about their investigation. I didn't want to get too into it. There definitely has been some backlash for Rupolt. Like, I guess some people think that he was too aggressive with deciding when something was going to be a hoax. So like he would, like it almost like in some cases seemed like some people thought that he may have like rushed into certain investigations and just called certain things. But I mean, from what I
been too much of a skeptic basically.
Yeah. And just trying to just do his job by doing the Air Force solid and just making sure that nothing was gonna cause panic and just
right.
doing his job as like being like, yep, this is a hoax, this is science, this is why this is this way. But obviously it's not the case because he wrote a book about it, and that's the book that I reference.
That's so fun.
Here's the deets. So when Sonny Disfergers was interviewed, 6 people sat in. And that was to make sure the details that he was giving were not made up. And they listened to his story, and it proved that he was seemingly telling the truth. They have some sort of theory about each person listening. They pick a detail, and then when they ask him to recount it, if he gives that detail back correctly, then it's more likely that he's telling the truth, because he would change it slightly if he wasn't.
Right, okay.
So that seemed to be fine. So they did that, and all 6 men were like, seems like he's telling the truth. They talked to the 3 boys whose stories checked out, and along with the farmer and his wife, they also interviewed the farmer and his wife and people that knew and worked with Sonny, because they're like, okay, is this guy a crackpot or is he crazy? They definitely checked into his background history, I think.
Right. To basically be like, oh, is this dude Is he obsessed with aliens already?
Exactly. So I don't think they found anything too crazy about that. But they didn't. None of his coworkers or anything were like saying that he was crazy. They were saying, "Oh, he's a very nice guy." So
right, good.
Yeah. During this whole investigation, Sunny repeatedly asked the investigators, "What did I see?" Like, it's kind of like if you really didn't know what you saw and you're like, "What the heck?" Then obviously you would be asking the people that might know.
And right. He's hoping, okay, was this some sort of government experiment?
Yeah. Or they know something about aliens.
Or they know. Yeah. Right. Do you guys know what alien? Mm-hmm. Do you already know that there are aliens? Like, tell me what it was.
Exactly. So.
He wasn't like trying to tell them what it was. He didn't have his own theory.
No. He wasn't like, oh yeah, this is exactly what it is. He really didn't know. Like, he's just like this guy that is trying to just take his Boy Scouts home and he sees this crazy thing. So.
Right.
His baseball cap, we had talked about this earlier, had been burned, and it was concluded towards the end of the investigation that it was something like electrical sparks that caused the burns. And also his hair had been singed, which goes back to the flash fire or flash burns that he got. They all went back and checked the site where it happened to see if it may have been struck by lightning, been exposed to fire, but with no avail. No, there was no trace. There was no burnt out fireworks, no matches, no flammable instruments, no chemicals. So they were obviously just like checking everywhere in that area for any evidence that it could have been a hoax, and they found nothing.
Wow.
They used a Geiger counter, which determines lingering radiation, and that also showed nothing. Now this is the major piece of evidence that was found. The grass appeared at first not to be singed at all. But once the grass was collected at a later date, so I guess they didn't, on their initial trip down, they didn't collect it and they realized later. So then they had people grab samples of it and send it to their labs. And they determined that the roots were charred.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so the top of the grass was not, you couldn't tell that it was, you know,
burnt,
but the roots were charred. Now, like a steak. Now, I have a picture of the grass samples, so I'm going to share.
Yes, cannot wait to see. This is very weird. Okay, it's black and white, so it's hard to really tell.
It is hard to see where they're burnt, but yeah, I guess the roots in this little soil area. It's like weird. 10 yards out too. They grab samples, but
that's super weird.
Wild.
What the fuck in nature could explain that? I mean, that's just beyond me.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. At the end of their investigation, they deemed that this occurrence was an unexplained hoax.
Unexplained hoax?
Mm-hmm. The investigators tried their hardest to prove that it was a hoax, but in reality, Edward J. Rubolt said that it was, quote, the best hoax in UFO history.
Why did they determine that it was a hoax?
I think in order to, like, I mean, I guess it was, like, unexplained. I think they went back and interviewed the kids, and their stories kind of, like, weren't great. Like, they started after the first interview, it was good, but then after they went back, they're like, oh well,
I mean, they're kids though. I don't know that that's enough.
They are kids. And another thing that they said was that the kids, they went to back to the spot where the kids could watch basically Sunny walk through and push through all of the palmettos, and they from the car they couldn't see. So I'm like, that's kind of weird. But
I mean, at night though, it's not so much that you can't see.
Maybe it was just the flashlight.
You see the flashlight, and then you see the ball of fire. This you know, is, that's all the two things you can see.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You can see a flashlight from really far away.
See, I guess you can kind of see maybe why people were frustrated with him, because they, instead of just being like unexplained, he would.
An unexplained hoax. Yeah. That doesn't count. No, it's unexplained.
Yeah.
Or it's a hoax and you've explained it.
Yeah.
And it's a hoax.
So they couldn't prove that it was a hoax.
Right.
However, the Project Blue Man himself.
The Project Blue Man?
Project Blue Book Man. Now, when I said the Project Blue Man, it made me think of
the Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group, and also Arrested Development, Tobias.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get way off on my references here. But, anyways, Rupolt himself has only one explanation for how this happened. You know, he's a science man. He explains in his book that this scenario with the weird evidence and like the heat coming off of from somewhere and the odor, this is what he says in his book, that it possibly could have been caused by induction heating.
Meaning
so induction heating is made when a rod of solid metal or any electrical conductor is subjected to an alternating magnetic field. It has electromotive forces set up in it. These electromotive forces cause what are known as eddy currents, and a rise in temperature results from eddy currents. He explains that the damp sand was the conductor, and the charred grass roots that may have been caused by the sandy soil heating up beneath the flying object through induction heating. Obviously, the solid metal with conducting sand, the damp sand, that can make maybe a supercharged alternating magnetic field. And with the use of electricity, I talked about his ball cap getting sparks. Like, that could have been like some sort of electric machine or something. I don't know.
But what's his explanation for where that machine was and what, you know?
He only has explanation for how, like, the roots could have been charred, and how I think his thing at the end of this is like, okay, well, if this is similar to induction heating, and if it goes along with Einstein's unified field theory, a lot of people use that theory to explain how UFOs fly. And that's kind of goes in hand with the induction heating, because I mean, obviously you're using electromagnetism with the induction heating, I think, and gravity. So in this book, he also quotes like a normal chemistry book to explain the odor that he smelled, because basically ozone gas is prepared by passing air between two plates which are charged at a high electrical potential. Now, whatever was happening with this flying saucer and whatever sciencey shit that it was doing, and the high electrical plates that could have been involved, could have caused ozone gas to occur. And ozone gas is said to have a sharp odor, and it can also cause you to pass out if you breathe enough of it in. So, what do you
think? I feel like ozone is also a smell associated with UFOs.
Really? I don't know that much, but yeah, I mean, now, yeah.
So, I'm confused at what he is, like, saying, because it sounds like he's saying, well, there is no UFO, but the only thing that could have explained what happened is if a UFO was there.
Well, that's why I'm saying, what I think the fuck? I think they like joked it off as a hoax because they literally could not explain it. So right. It's still an unexplained case. But, and he it's obviously, he still is like, well, maybe there is some sort of flying object that could have created this environment. I mean, where if you were standing under it, you would, if a spark flew off, and I don't know if ozone gas is like flammable, but if they're using, in theory, if there's an alien and they're flying around in this machine that uses gravity and electromagnetic fields to levitate and propel. Like, if you were standing under it, would you feel like, would you get the sensation of you being like, would you feel the heat? Like, it all kind of makes sense.
What would you feel like if you could stand between two giant magnets, basically?
Yes, exactly.
What sensation would that be? I don't know. I'm pretty convinced by that. I mean, how can you explain the sunburn and the charred hat and the charred roots is kind of, that's the number one thing where you're like, well, how the fuck do you fake that?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to me too, because if you've ever cooked like on an induction with pans and like there's an induction like heating, if you between two magnets, it literally, like, if you touch the surface, it's not hot. Only the conductor gets hot.
Right.
So it's odd that, you know, it makes sense to me that if the soil that was sandy and wet, you know, became charged and it was giving off heat, like, it would burn.
Yeah.
The roots. I mean, it makes sense to me. I thought it was, like, one of the most, like, sound explanations for something.
It
like
makes
even
perfect.
If it's not an alien, but you know, maybe they have different technology.
I mean,
but
the
it sounds.
Fuck else would it be if it's not an alien?
I mean, it could be like a government ship that they were testing, but who knows? I honestly, I want to believe it was an alien, and they're like, oh, he can't see us, so we're gonna shoot a fireball at him. So, I don't know.
That's weird. It's something unexplained. If it was government technology, that's also interesting, but it's what was it near an airfield or a military base or anything like that?
No.
So what the fuck would high-tech military ship be doing out in the middle of buttfuck nowhere in Florida? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I know that there are a lot of air bases down in South Florida.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
but also, but yes, in that area. I agree. Like, why that time? Now, yeah. I don't know what year it was, but my grandfather had a UFO incident. He was out on the boat at night with some friends, and they were running... they had their motor like just suddenly like quit, and I think they saw some weird lights and like they thought it was something wrong with the engine, and then the next day when they checked it was completely fine. So like it was, I mean, I don't know, maybe honestly, if it was in the same area, maybe it was the same object. That'd be crazy.
That's common too with UFO sightings, like cars just turn off completely.
Yeah.
Motors, that kind of stuff just shut down.
Insane. Anyways, not to go off on another little tangent, but yeah. So I've been telling you this whole time about the book that I read to get all this information, not all of it, a lot of it. And it's called The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects. And it was written by the man himself, obviously, Edward J. Ruppelt. So,
well, there's no doubt it was a UFO. It was an unidentified flying object. Whether it was alien or man-made is another question, but...
Yeah, something we'll probably never know. There's a UFO. Yeah, I mean, it made it in this book, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, he wrote about this one in chapter 13, which is the only chapter I read and discussed today. but don't worry, you don't even have to go anywhere to read it, because with all this this quarantine stuff. You don't need a library, you don't need a bookstore, you just go online, and it is online for free at NICAP.org. And what is NICAP? Or NICAP? It stands for the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomenon.
Oh, yes. I've
so
heard
it's
of
pretty
NICAP.
Dope.
I've heard of
I've never looked into it, but their website is crazy. So you should go check it out. And it said on their website that they are a privately supported fact-finding body serving the public interest. So public interest they may have after our episode airs. I thought it was really cool. I want to read the rest of the book because he actually does a really good job like telling the story of each thing. I mean, it could be biased, but who knows? It's still fun. But he goes into a lot of detail about everything, and he's kind of conversational about it. So
it's not too, like, heady.
No, it's not, like, straight facts. It's, like, he kind of describes the situation, and I don't know how to describe it. Read it for yourself.
Will do.
There is also a TV series that recently came out that is, like, pretty much loosely, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it's loosely or fully based on this project. One of the articles I used was from the History channel because they did a whole spread on it because season 2 just came out of the show. But it's called Project Blue Book.
Okay. And you know what? That's I have heard of that show, and that's why I think that rang a little bit of a bell, but I couldn't figure out why.
Well, there are two seasons, like I said, that one just came out. I tried to watch it, and I think you need a subscription to like
Boo.
Cable, but I'm gonna still investigate, see how I can get my hands on listening.
Is anyone famous
that.
In it? I feel like someone famous is in it, right?
Yeah. Yep. I wrote this down for a reason.
Thank you.
I knew it because you're gonna be really happy about it. So Aidan Gillen is like the main guy in it, and he's in a show that both Korea and I love very much, and it's over, but he's in Game of Thrones. He plays Littlefinger. Yeah.
Oh my god. That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Damn, I want to watch it.
Me too.
Good.
And it has pretty good reviews. Like, I think I looked it up, and I'm the kind of girl that'll look up, like, oh, is this show actually worth watching?
Yeah, me too.
It has, like, 7 point something.
Okay.
Rating online for IMDb, which is pretty good because a lot of them aren't bad, but I saw like a couple like episodes they had like 9, so I was like, okay,
damn. All right. Too bad I don't have cable. Get it.
I know. We'll have to figure out how to watch it. There is also an actor in it named Michael Mullarkey, and he was in The Vampire Diaries. Never seen that show. Pretty sure Karina hasn't.
No, never seen it.
And I'm pretty sure we both don't care to, but it's got a little bit of something for everybody. It's online. I think you can watch. Yeah, you can definitely watch it online, but you have to find a login to like cable subscription or something. But you figure it out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But we're the shot. But anyways, that's all I've got for this episode.
Yay, great job. That's a really fun story.
Yeah, that was I liked researching it. It felt very different from, I don't think we have done a UFO before. So.
No, not yet. Haven't done a UFO one yet. I love them. I love the UFO encounter stories. They're always so good because they are always narrative. Because it's an experience. It's always an experience that someone has. So it's really good.
All right, everybody.
Well,
or do you have some? Yep.
That's it. No, thanks for being patient. Sorry, this is coming out late.
Yeah, and stay safe out there and in your homes, I guess. Not out there, in your house.
Yes.
Don't be tripping over your carpet or your tables. I don't know. Find something to occupy yourselves and chill and keep your anxiety down.
Everybody get some pets. Everybody adopt and foster.
Yes, we'll see by next episode if I have a dog.
Oh my god.
All right, well, I have some plants right now I'm taking care of. I got a tomato plant and a jalapeno pepper, but yeah, that's mostly in case I need to become a farmer, so
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. In case I'm going to have to start farming my own goods because of these times. But anyways.
All right. Yeah. Well, all right. Thanks. Thanks, Rachel. Great job.
Thanks, Karina, for listening. Thanks for everyone else listening, too. Okay, that's okay. It. Stop listening.
Stop listening now. Bye.
All the music for our podcast is provided by The Murmurs and their album Get Swell Soon. You can listen to The Murmurs on Spotify or find them on their Bandcamp page.
If you're interested in learning more about us, you can visit our website at peninsulaobscura.com and check out our Instagram at peninsulaobscura. You can listen to our podcast on most platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.